As you know, the last weeks we've been going through different biblical characteristics, and we're continuing with that. Before we get into today, though, I want to give you heads up about next week. If you had plans next week, cancel your plans. You want to be here. You don't want to watch, if at all possible, from your TV set at home. You want to be here. We're going to be talking with Rob Baird next Sunday. And you guys know his story, a lot of you do, at least parts of his story. I'm going to guess that you're going to discover some additional pieces to that story of him and his journey with Tiffany. So we're going to really be plugging it into our series because, as Rob says in his book, it's a thing of hope, faith, and courage, right? And those are all three biblical characteristics, hope, faith, and courage that we as believers should strive to have in our lives. So it's going to be the complete time of the message next week will be an interview kind of format with Rob. And I would just encourage you, be here, bring your friends, bring your neighbors. They'll be encouraged by it. And we're going to have a great time seeing from somebody's real life experience how God can be so faithful and walk with us through such difficult things. I want to share with you a story as we get started this morning. For 30 years, Randy Murphy drove without a traffic incident, without being stopped by the police, and without a driver's license. Then, the 46-year-old Knoxville, Tennessee native, his luck ran out. On his way home from work as a dishwasher, he increased the volume on his radio, turned the corner, and he was stopped by police officer Mark Taylor, who pulled him over because of the blaring music. When Officer Taylor asked Murphy for his driver's license, Murphy admitted immediately that he did not have one. Officer Taylor asked Murphy why he didn't have a license, and Murphy said that he couldn't read enough to pass the written test. With uncommon courtesy, Taylor told Murphy, "If you're willing, I will help you with the reading part of your test." The officer gave Murphy his pager number. Later that afternoon, Murphy paged Taylor to schedule their first meeting. For the next 3 months, the men met several times a week to review the test booklet. When Murphy felt ready, Taylor accompanied him to the Department of Motor Vehicles. Murphy took the test 6 times before he passed it, and then he sailed through the road test. Taylor's act of kindness earned him the Officer of the Month award for the Knoxville Police Department. I don't know if this is exactly what we see in Galatians chapter 5 and the fruits of the Spirit when it talks about love, joy, peace, kindness. But I kind of envision that that might be what that passage is talking about when we talk about kindness. Offering kindness. Instead of just writing a ticket to this gentleman that rightfully so deserved a ticket, this officer instead takes 3 months of his personal time to help this guy get to where he needs to be by offering kindness. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, you'll see it on the screen. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these." This is an area, I believe, in my own life that in the last 3 or so months that God has really been talking to me about, saying you need to be more intentional in regards to offering kindness in a world that desperately needs kindness to be offered. Sometimes I think that as believers, we get so focused on preaching the gospel to our loved ones, to our family, and to strangers, which is good. But we fail. We fail to evidence the gospel of love by showing the kindness that Paul and other writers talk about all throughout Scripture. Kindness matters. If kindness didn't matter, it wouldn't be one of the fruits of the Spirit. It wouldn't. Kindness matters. God himself is kind Through Jeremiah, God said in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 24, I am the Lord who exercises kindness. God's kindness to sinners is designed to lead them to repentance, and God's kindness should encourage us to continue in his kindness, to keep our focus on living for God. Kindness is listed as one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's more than just an attitude or a trait that we should be desiring as believers in Christ. It's evidence. It's evidence because it's listed as the fruit of the Spirit. It's evidence that the Holy Spirit lives in us. Right? What Stacy was sharing at the time of offering this morning about we want to be known as a church that cares about our community, that does things just to be nice, just to offer kindness, to offer encouragement. Because it's evidence that the Holy Spirit is living within us. So what is kindness? I think the quality of being friendly, generous, considerate, absolutely. Kindness is a type of behavior marked by acts of generosity, consideration, or concern for others. And this is the key part, I think, without expecting praise or reward for what we've done. So let me ask you this. As you walk through your day, are you concerned about listening to the Holy Spirit's prompting in regards to being kind to others? As believers, we are to be known as kind people. Those who know us should be able to testify that we offer kindness to our family, to our friends, to strangers, to people we don't know, and to people that we may not even particularly enjoy being with or like. Kindness sets us apart. I think especially in the environment that we're living in today, when we intentionally show kindness, it sets us apart. Several weeks back, I told you that God's been working on me with this and the need to be intentional in regards to it. Several weeks back, I was struggling with God a little bit in regards to this, and really what it was I've watched some of our school board meetings at our local school district, and they're just nasty right now. It's just a divisive kind of feel. And I watch it, I think, man, it should be different, but I do nothing to make it any different. So I decided that maybe about a month ago or so that I was going to stand up and I was going to just simply thank our school board and our school leaders and try to set a little bit of a different tone. So when it came time for open comments, I did that. And then the day ended and I left. I went home. A couple weeks later, I was at the school and one of the school board members, who I've never really talked to, came up to me and with watery eyes, teary eyes, said, you'll never know how much it meant that somebody stood up and just thanked us. That's the power of kindness. That's the power that each one of us has within us, that each one of us can offer to other people. We can make this huge difference in the lives of others by simply offering kindness. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. So that's us as believers, God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Simply put, the believer is to show kindness. Any idea what the biblical characteristic we're working on today is about? Kindness. First thing we're going to talk about comes from Titus chapter 3, verse 4 through 7. And it's this: kindness shows compassion. Kindness shows compassion. Titus chapter 3, starting verse 4, says, "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things that we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Christ Jesus our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life." Because of God's kindness, he showed us compassion by saving us. Kindness and compassion, they go together. I heard a story about a church leader and another leader in the community that had been really doing a lot of harm to this church leader just through ruining his reputation. And in a board meeting, some folks expressed their concern to the church leader about this, that this harm that was being created. And this godly leader made this statement. He said, "I have determined in my heart to show love and kindness towards this other leader, and I will do it." And he did. That is what kindness is all about. That was true kindness in action. Intentional kindness in action. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Paul tells us to be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. That forgiving each other part of that verse, it takes us back to the idea of kindness and compassion being hand in hand with each other. The Bible instructs us to be kind and compassionate to one another. When we see people in need, we should feel compassion, and oftentimes we do. And compassion will motivate us to do something. So we show kindness. I think at the end of the day, when I was struggling with whether I was going to stand up and say anything in front of the school board, it was that compassion I felt for them. I felt so bad for them because they're just being beat down day in and day out, and nobody's recognizing anything great that they're doing. That compassion, it leads us to show kindness. There are so many ways that we can show kindness to our family, to our friends, to complete strangers, right? There's just so many ways. I just did a Google search of the word, literally, I think, what was the phrase? Kindness ideas is what I Googled. You will get hundreds, if not thousands, of different ideas on how you can show kindness. And the reason I'm sharing this with you is because the application today, I'm going to come back to this, okay? So I'm just throwing this out there a little bit earlier. We're going to come back to it with the application. But here's just some examples of how we can show kindness to each other. And sometimes we get used to doing it the way we always do it. But there's a whole lot of other ways that we can show kindness to people that could be a really fun thing to do. So sometimes it's just as simple as running errands for somebody or mowing your neighbor's yard, leaving a nice note on somebody's car. I've never thought of doing that. And don't criticize their parking job on the note. Buy the person behind you coffee. Tell a boss about a good employee, right? When you're getting good service, when you're at a store, go out of your way to find the manager and report the person for giving you great service. That's awesome. Make dinner for a family that's in need. Thank a teacher with a gift. Write down a friend's best qualities and then give it to them. Take 15 minutes to really listen to somebody. Do a task for your spouse, your parent, your child, or a friend that he or she hates doing. That's showing kindness. Help somebody that is having car problems on the side of the road. Just Google kindness ideas. So we're going to come back to that list and the idea of there are so many ways that we can show kindness. But for now, I just want us to remember that so often it's compassion that builds up inside of us that allows kindness to be acted on. Secondly, kindness takes, it takes action. It takes action. So we're going to expand on that just a little bit from our first point. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. It says, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages we might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus." I think the fascinating thing in all of this is that kindness is a word that often used in Scripture, it's used to describe God's love for us. We who have been made in the image of God are the objects of his loving kindness. Even though at times in life, or our walk with Christ, we sometimes get mad at God because he's not doing what we think he should be doing. Other times, maybe we even completely walk away from him in kind of this passive indifference. Even when we do those things, God still never gives up on us. In his loving kindness, God sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. He paid the penalty that we deserve. And he continually extends to us mercy and grace. Him dying on the cross, it's kindness in action. There's nothing in us that deserves God's kindness. It is unmerited favor and love, not because of who we are, but because of who God is. When you have truly experienced the loving kindness of God in our lives, it's hard to keep it to ourselves. As Jesus said, the one who has been forgiven much is the one who loves much. And the kindness of God is something that becomes contagious. God forgives us, we're to forgive others. It should be contagious. Even in those times when someone wrongs you and is extremely unfair or hurtful, in the power of God's Holy Spirit, we can discover how to be a channel of God's loving kindness and grace to others. And in fact, I'll even go as far as to say that maybe perhaps when we are hurt, when we're broken down because of something that's happened in our lives, when we show kindness to somebody else, it actually helps us. It's kind of like a side effect of it, right? It actually helps us in that process. It's very difficult to do. And if we're being totally honest, then some of those situations, the hurt and the pain is so deep that we can't do it on our own. But with God's help, we can find the grace to show kindness in those moments. The fact of the matter is that we are broken in many, many ways as people. It may not be physically, but we are broken nonetheless. We are broken in our hearts. We're broken in our minds because of past wounds that maybe never quite healed right. The pain of life has left us broken people. I've got a broken heart just like many of you do. Life has dealt all of us at times some crippling blows to work through. We all need the healing kindness of God because it's rare to find in the world that surrounds us. However, when you see God's loving kindness working through others, it causes you to stop and to take notice because it provides a glimpse into heaven and makes the gospel all the more believable. When God saw that we would be unable to save ourselves through any earthly means, in his kindness, in his compassion, he sent Jesus, his only begotten Son, to save us permanently for eternity. God put kindness into action by sending his Son so that we could be saved. During World War II, a young paratrooper named David Webster wrote a letter to his mother, and part of that letter is going to be quoted on the screen here. It says, "Stop worrying about me. I joined the parachutists to fight. I intend to fight. If necessary, I shall die fighting. But don't worry about this, because no war can be won without young men dying." And then these last words, "Those things which are precious are saved only by sacrifice." Those things which are precious are saved only by sacrifice. What a profound statement that is. And how much more true that is when it comes to our salvation. If we are going to experience eternal joy and peace with the holy God, then somebody has to sacrifice. And that somebody is Jesus. Jesus didn't ignore our sins or just brush it off or say, "Well, that's going to be Dustin's problem down the road." The holy God never would have settled for that. Instead, Jesus assumed our sin, and he let God crush it with him going to the cross. It was on the cross that kindness of God and the justice of God, it came together. Christ's kindness required action. His willingness to take our place on the cross was that action. Third thing I want to point out about kindness this morning is kindness is powerful. It's powerful. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13 says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has grievance against somebody. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." One of the amazing ideas that comes from Scripture is that you and I are actually invited to be channels of God's loving kindness to other people. We're the conduit. Each of us has opportunities every single day to reject the temptations of power and bitterness and instead express God's loving kindness to a person who does or does not deserve it. Whether it's a rebellious child or a bitter ex-husband or an angry coworker, demanding boss, somebody who takes advantage of you in business, this is important. Every time we don't return evil for evil, but rather return evil with good. We live into the loving kindness of God and share in his ministry of reconciliation and hope. I want that to sink in. It's going to be on the screen. Every time we don't return evil for evil, but rather return evil with good, we live into the loving kindness of God and share in the ministry of reconciliation and bringing hope. This doesn't mean that we should enable bad behavior. It's not what I'm saying. Sometimes I think the most loving thing that we can do is to speak truth to people and hold them accountable for the things that they say and the things that they do. To be a channel of God's kindness to others when they don't deserve it is to reject the desire to be bitter or to get even with somebody. We can leave justice in the hands of God. And he's in a much better position than we are to take care of it. When we are channels of God's kindness in the world, we create hope and healing. And the rippling effect, it can be so dramatic. Our acts of kindness can radically impact people who may never change, but God may use those acts to break them and transform them in his mighty way. You just can't imagine what impact you're leaving in somebody's heart when you show kindness to people. It's the power of kindness. When that board member came back to me, the school board member came back to me, watery-eyed, thanking me for a few words. It's the power of kindness. Philip Yancey has written, and it's going to be on the screen as well, Christians can help establish patches of green in the gray ash of the lost and decaying world. In the midst of hate and strife, we should offer forgiveness and peace. In the midst of oppression and injustice, we should offer freedom and fairness. In the midst of immorality and falsehood, we should offer righteousness and truth. This is what it means to be a channel of God's kindness to a lost and to a broken world. We are perhaps living our most powerful lives when others can see Christ in us and through us. And they can see them in our thinking, in the way that we comprehend things, in the way that we make decisions, and when they can see him in our actions, in what we actually do. Because when we do so, others can see Christ living in and through us. And the lives of others will be changed as a result of that. I think that this biblical call to kindness, sometimes it sounds good in theory, but if we're being honest with ourselves, are we always really good about doing it in practice? As we live out our days, are we intentionally showing God's kindness to other people? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Evidence that the Holy Spirit is living within us is when these fruits flow from us. It's impossible to produce genuine Christ-like kindness as described in Galatians chapter 5 by ourselves. A new heart is required. Us giving our lives to Christ is required in order for us to truly show the kind of kindness that Genesis 5 is talking about. And then a growth process follows, which only takes place when we submit ourselves to and become obedient to the Holy Spirit. He nurtures those positive characteristic changes, and that's reflected then in our relationships with other people. If we're willing, he enables us to respond in love and with kindness. He gives the strength to forgive and to heal painful memories. We must determine in our hearts. Again, I want this to sink in. It's going to be on the screen. We must determine in our hearts not to be a part of the cruelty in the world, which I think we can all admit is there right now. And dare I say, the cruelty that is too often found in the church. We must determine in our hearts to not be a part of it. It's a decision that we have to choose to make. Rather, we must be sensitive to the needs of people, showing kindness to those that we have relationship with, to both friends and enemies alike. Nowhere do I see in all the passages in regards to kindness that it says that this refers to the people you enjoy being with. It's for friends and enemies alike. And that's what makes it hard sometimes. It starts by making time to practice kindness and praying for God to open our eyes to the opportunities to show kindness. And then praying that we'll be responsive to those situations. And determining in our own minds that we will do as we sense the Holy Spirit leading. So here's the application today. And it's not some succinct sentence that you can write down, but you can write down the gist of it. I think it would be neat if we kind of play a game with this idea of kindness for the next few weeks. As a church, as families, as individuals. I think it would be really neat if we as individuals, and it'll look different for everybody, determine, you know what, I am going to intentionally show kindness to somebody, intentionally, once every day. I'm going to go out of my way. I'm going to make sure that I show somebody kindness. And here's the game part of it. Make sure you tell somebody and that you're going to hold each other accountable to it. So, and it's not just holding each other accountable to it, but it's celebrating along with them that they've shown kindness to somebody, because you're going to talk, if you do it as a family, when you sit down for dinner at night, say, how'd you show kindness today to somebody? And you're going to share how you showed kindness to somebody, intentionally showed kindness to somebody that day. And now you got three or four more ideas of how you can show kindness, because you just heard how other people did it as well. That's something we can celebrate. That together, as believers in Jesus Christ, we're intentionally showing kindness on a regular basis. So here's what I said earlier on. Go Google kindness ideas. Right? Don't do the same thing every day. It's going to get boring. So figure out different ways to show kindness. Try something new every day for the next couple weeks. Pull something off the list. There's lists of hundreds of ideas how to show kindness. But bless somebody. Let's be the church. Let's allow people to see the fruit of the Spirit of kindness working out of us, because it's proof that the Holy Spirit is working in us. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you so much for this day. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us the ability to be conduits of kindness. Help us to take it serious. Help us to be very intentional about doing it. Open our eyes, Lord God, to the people that need to be on the receiving end of kindness. And Heavenly Father, when those people might happen to be people that we don't know or people that we know, but we would just rather not do it, give us courage and boldness to be obedient to you and to show kindness regardless. Lord God, I would pray that as we do this as believers, that it would make a difference in people's lives, that it would be an encouragement to people, that they would step away thinking, what just happened? Because somebody intentionally showed kindness to them. Pray this in your name. Amen.